This is episode number 890 with Dan Reynolds of Imagine Dragons.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Henry Moore said, "To be an artist is to believe in life." We're all artists, if you think of it that way, if we all believe in life, if we believe in the magic of life, the wonders, the adventures, the ups and downs, that's what this life is. And Dan Reynolds is a singer, songwriter, and record producer. He's best known as the lead singer and frontman of the Grammy Award-winning band Imagine Dragons. And he is a liver of life for sure. He's been around the world. He's been through all the ups and downs, had a lot of pain and a lot of happiness. And I'm excited to share this episode and interview with you about him and his lessons of life. And Imagine Dragons, chart-topping single, Radioactive, holds the record for the most weeks charted on the Billboard Hot 100. That's staggering. And Rolling Stone called it the biggest rock hit of the year. Billboard named them their breakthrough band of 2013 and the biggest band of 2017. Dan is also the recipient of the Songwriters Hall of Fame Hall David Starlight Award. In 2018, he began to talk about his physical and mental health struggles on social media accounts and continues to offer encouraging messages of support to his fans and others struggling as well. And in this episode, we talk about the challenges of marriage and what Dan has learned about making relationships work, the powerful lessons about love that Dan learned from his family and upbringing. We talk about destigmatizing mental illness and the power of being open and honest about it, why it's important to listen to your body and advocate for your health. Dan's biggest piece of advice that he's learned from being a rock star, a family man, and an advocate for mental and physical health, and so much more. I'm excited about this. If you're a big fan of Dan or Imagine Dragons, make sure to share this with a friend, lewishowes.com/890. Text someone, post it on social media. You can tag me and Dan Reynolds as well, and let us know that you're listening.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game. Or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, we've got Dan Reynolds here. Welcome to the School of Greatness podcast, man. Super excited about this. Thank you for being here. You have been blowing up on the world with your music and your message. You know, your music is unbelievable and it's addictive. And I think it's in the top of the charts because it's so inspiring and addictive, but your message is what is interesting for me. I think there's a lot of artists that become popular but don't have a message that says something meaningful, and you have that, which is really cool and inspiring. So I'm glad you're here.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate it. And I'm curious about, as I was doing research on you, I'm curious about marriage, because I'm a single guy. I've got a girlfriend who I've been dating for a year.
Oh, nice.
She's about to move in a few weeks.
Okay.
It's been long distance for almost a year. And you've been married, and I read that you almost got a divorce, or you were talking about divorce.
For 7 months.
7 months, and now you're still
married. We're back together. Yeah, now we've been together for about a year and a half and have had a baby boy together in that time. So, yeah, it's been a wild ride.
So how long were you married? You've been married
the
whole time.
We've been married for 8 years. Yeah, we never got divorced, but we were going to. But then we were separated. We kind of just learned a lot about ourselves during that time period, about 6 months, 7 months. And then we were literally going to sign the papers and went to lunch to talk about it. And then we ended up getting back together.
So you were separated for 7 months. Were you not living together? Were you not speaking?
Yeah, we were totally apart. We didn't even really talk.
But you had
other
kids.
I was on tour for those whole 7 months, and the kids would come out and visit and stay with me a couple times a month and back with her. Mm-hmm. So it was basically zero communication for 7 months.
Wow.
After being together for, at that point, 6 years, 7 years? 7 years, I think, because I remember someone saying, oh, it's the 7-year itch or something.
Thing. It's like hard at 7 years.
Yeah, at 7 years.
Like 7 months.
Supposedly, that's the thing. Yeah, I guess 7 is the unlucky number.
Right.
I'm the 7th son, too, of eight boys.
I'd say you're pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Not lucky.
Maybe it goes both ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, okay, so give me some advice, if you can. I'm about to get into a more committed relationship. Mm. Why do you think that it got to a place where there was this disconnection or separation or lack of communication or whatever it was?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And what would you have done differently so that it didn't get to that point?
I would say my best advice so far, just if I was reflecting on my relationship, for anybody, would just be, first of all, of course, communication is everything, but that's kind of cliche, right? But I would also say I had a really hard time in my life knowing what I wanted. I felt like a lot of my decisions were made for me. I was raised in a really conservative family. I felt like there was this path that was kind of carved by 7 boys in front of me, and then I kind of had to follow it. They were all Eagle Scouts, and like it was like, this is the Reynolds way. And I fought against that my entire life. I was like the one who was getting in trouble. I was the one who had a hard time with religion. It didn't really work for me. But I also didn't want to disappoint. I had all these people in front of me that were so successful. And then, you know, they all got married and all had kids. So, oh, I need to get married. I need to have kids. So every decision in my life, I mean, I made it. I was a victim of myself, really. Sure. I was being a stupid victim. But I also at the same point was like, I feel like I've just been forced into all these things. I'm a victim of myself. So I think where I finally made a big turn in my life is I realized that I am free to make my own decisions, and I'm able to actually say, well, what do I want? And am I making this decision for anyone else but for myself? So I think my first question to you would be, are you with this woman 100% just solely on the fact that you want to be? No, and when I say that, of course, I'm not saying somebody's holding a gun to your head saying, right. But maybe there's the like pressures of like, I really love her now and I don't want to hurt her or let her, like, all of that aside, why are you just here because you want to be here every single day? Are you there every day because of that? Not because of any pressure of, I don't want to be single anymore, or people ask me, like, why am I still single? Or do you need to be married? Or
are
like
you gonna get married? Yeah.
So being able to get to a point in life where you really can let go. I had to get to a point where I was able to completely let go of, it's okay to disappoint people around you. Yes. It's okay to just upset everyone, you know, even if that's whatever it takes for you to be happy.
Isn't that one of the hardest things, is not letting other people down, not disappointing other people?
It was my greatest strength and greatest flaw of my life, was really being, I hate the term people pleaser because it just sounds so corny, but kind of what I did my whole life. Yeah. Like, I'd meet someone and be like, what do I need to give this person?
For them to like you.
For them to like me, to feel comfortable. Like, it's a good trait. Let me meet you and find out what you need from me, and then I'll be a chameleon and I'll give you exactly.
Oh, man, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and then it just bites you in the ass, and it actually hurts everybody around you. It's a pretty terrible quality to have.
Yeah, I mean, I
but it takes a while to release to realize that, because you want to be polite still and kind, and you want conversations to be easy, but sometimes they just need to be hard. And sometimes you have to face hard truths. And so I guess I don't know that I have great advice other than...
So why did you get to the point of like, okay, we're going to separate?
Because it was solely me. It was my fault. I got to a point where I thought, am I sure that where I am in life right now is exactly where I wanted to be? I was like going through a faith crisis. I'd been raised Mormon, and I was like, I don't know if I believe this stuff, but I've been doing it for all these other people. Man, I'm like 30 years old, and I don't know that I can't point at any decision. Did I marry Asia because I knew I loved her, but I was like, but do I know that I want to be married? Is this like something that I want right now? Like, did I choose all? It sounds so selfish saying this out loud, but I'm trying to be really honest with you. But I was just felt like I was in a cage. And I felt very claustrophobic, and not because of her. She was absolutely wonderful. But because I was just a victim of feeling like I didn't have free agency my entire life, even though I totally did.
You made the decisions.
Yeah.
You proposed. So, yes. You got married. You could have any time backed out, but you felt this pressure from family,
friends. Yeah, or for myself, my own head. So I guess my greatest advice, you know, it might not be a thing for you, but for me it was. I wish somebody had said to me, Dan, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to, like, you don't have to move. You don't have to move in together. You don't have to be with us. You don't have to be at this table right now. You don't have to be nice to me. You don't have to, you know, like, you don't have to do anything. Like, do you. And be honest. It's going to be okay. Like, people, you'll still have friends with the people who should be your friends.
Yeah.
And you'll still, it'll all turn out okay. And so I think that I wish somebody had just really helped me to feel okay about doing whatever I needed to do in life or something.
Did you feel a bigger sense of pressure from family during that separational period, or like?
No, they all were very like they knew Dan is unpredictable. And
he's a rebel.
And
he's an artist.
He's just, and he's a really like, wow, what a horrible, like I went away and I talked to nobody because I genuinely felt like everybody thought, well, that's a shitty person. And I thought, nah, they deserve to think that, you're right. I really was in that. I was in a really dark, dark headspace, and I was like, I don't care how many people hate me. I don't care.
Wow.
The hardest part for me was how much it hurt Asia. But I just had just, I knew that it wasn't a choice for me at that point. I just kind of, I just had to go on a journey.
You needed it, yeah.
Yeah, and I almost completely lost her. I probably should have, but she went on a journey for herself and I went on a journey for myself. And it just worked out that we found, I for sure, and hopefully she, I can't speak for her, but found out that absolutely we wanted to be together, you know, and do this.
So you recommitted from a free choice, not a pressure.
Yeah, it felt like it was like we washed it all clean and then we came back to each other and we dated. We were like, let's go on a date. No commitment to me or you. Yeah, like, let's go on a date. And then, no, that was fun. Let's go on a second date. And so it was like back to square one.
Wow.
Like rewind 10 years previous, back to square one.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
What was the biggest challenge you faced on tour during that time? Being alone and being, you know.
I could be self-destructive. so, yeah, I think I was just, it was hard to love myself, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I felt like a bad guy. And I just kind of was like, well, I am the bad guy, so. What does a bad guy do?
Whatever
a bad guy does, that's who I'm
doing.
So I'll play the role. So I think, you know, there is a bit of that for sure.
Sure.
I don't know. This is the first time I've talked about this out loud, so I don't know. I'm still formulating in my head exactly what it was like, but looking at it, it was a very important time in my life. It was the first time I felt completely free because I was like, I let go of caring. And now I'm at this new space in my life where I'm not saying don't care about people. I'm just saying don't ever dictate the way that your decisions that are going to, especially your most important decisions, based on pressures of other people, your parents, your friends, they should make choices for themselves. And you should make choices for you. And if they love you, they're going to respect you. As long as you're not like hurting people or being a bad human being, like, you know, like you have to make your own decisions.
Have your family been supportive of the artist way that you have and the bad decisions,
right,
and the good decisions? Have they always been supportive and respectful? Or is
I think...
Or have you had to take some distance from them at times?
I never really took distance from my family. Me and my mom had a time period where we were having a hard time communicating. It was when I was really dealing with my faith crisis.
Yeah.
And she's very religious, and that was hard for me. And so and I had like resentment, feeling like, why did you raise me in this? And then I was like, then I came to the realization, this is a whole other conversation, but I came to the realization like, oh, she was just trying to tell me give me the best things that she thought she had to give me.
Yeah.
Like, how can I be mad at my mom for like telling me what she believes and thinking would be the best thing for me? But no, my family really, I think, it was kind of one of those things where it's like, if you beat someone down enough, they're like, well, it's just the way Dan is. You know, it was like, I got kicked out of college before that. I got, you know, I had all kinds of things growing up that kind of got my mom to a point where she was like, I feel like I tell my younger brothers, I'm like, man, you got it really easy because I broke mom in. I like really broke my parents in.
They had
they had a lot of good straight and narrow kids. And then I came along and kind of,
Now you talk about the challenge you had with your faith. You grew up LDS.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where are you at with the faith now, or what was the realization you had?
I really am a spiritual person. I believe in spirituality. I think it's an important part of my existence, and I'm on a quest, I think, every day to find truth and light and to hopefully be a light and find truth. I think it's a dangerous concept to feel like you're at a point of arrival. I think I'm always searching, and I'm always like, wow, that feels true, and I like that. That doesn't feel true. I don't really like that. And just kind of like listen to everyone and be open. So I wouldn't call myself religious. I do still identify as Mormon, but more culturally than anything. I think I have a lot of loyalty to that community. They're like my people. I went on a mission for 2 years. I like... You know, got like beat up with other missionaries, like
really?
Got like slurpees thrown at you. You get like spit on. You know what I mean? So it's like it kind of unites
people
you.
Telling you to get away from me. Don't talk to me.
Yeah,
just pushing you away. They don't
or just
talk.
Growing up being like a Mormon, it's not cool. It's never been unless you live in Utah or something. I didn't.
Then
I grew up
cool.
in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Utah everybody's Mormon. So it's like if you're not Mormon,
hey, come
you're
on
probably
over.
Not cool. But in Vegas, it's not cool to be in middle school and be like, I'm Mormon. Everybody's like, that guy's a pilgrim or something. You know, like he wears special garments.
Yeah.
Like. And then, you know, it doesn't, and then you get like, you know, Broadway plays that are all about how stupid you are, and they're funny. I'm not knocking like the Mormon musical, but you know, it doesn't help that you as a Mormon kid, you're like, you're a dummy to everyone. Yeah. You're just like everybody, you're kind of like the butt of everybody's like joke when it comes to like religion, you know? Like Mormons are freak. You're allowed to make fun of Mormons all you want. Like it's actually kind of, now that I'm like at a point where I'm like, I'm kind of on the outside, I look at it and I'm like, it kind of is. It's, look, there's some things about Mormonism, like, look, you guys are messing up on this and I'm trying to like help with that, especially when it comes to like LGBTQ things and stuff. That's a whole nother conversation. Uh-huh. But that being said, Mormons are like free game for everybody to pick on. I'm like, it's not that cool. It's not cool to pick on anybody, period. But especially when it comes to people's religions, I'm like, why is it okay to, you know, like, we're not allowed to pick on this religion, but we can pick on that one, but not this one. I'm like, well, all Orthodox religions are messing things up in certain ways. So either we make fun of them all or let's take it all off the table. Sure. It's a little like hypocritical, but whatever.
Are you, do you have a relationship with the church or the, do they support you? Do they not, because you're into...
Honestly, I have no idea what the leaders of the Mormon church think about me. If they think I'm like a thorn in their side or something because of, I really firmly believe that our Orthodox religions are hurting our LGBTQ youth by telling them, hey, look, your most innate sense of being is flawed.
What are they saying to the community?
Well, it's in general, I mean, that you're telling a child that they need to love a specific way. And it's a very dangerous thing to, as I grew up with some of my friends who are Mormon and gay. And before they came out, I think anyone who was close to them, we knew, but it was like, they definitely didn't talk about it. Because it wasn't safe for them to. It wouldn't have been accepted in their family at all. Wow. They had a really, really hard road in front of them. And I watched that, and it was hard to watch that. Much harder for them, but being their friend, your heart hurts for them, you know? And then I watched some of these guys go on missions and come back, and they didn't feel safe to come out till some of them were in their late 20s, 30s. And then they lost family over it and lost friends. And it was like, it's devastating. So for me, just watching that, it made me feel like, this is broken. And then you look at the stats and it's like the number one reason for death among teenagers in Utah is suicide.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Suicide. And then on top of that, if LGBTQ youth aren't accepted in their home or community, they're 8 times more likely to take their life. So you put those 2 stats together and it's no wonder that we're losing so many LGBTQ youth to suicide. It's not because they're broken. It's not because they have mental issues or something. It's because our society and our culture is broken and we've kind of created this really desolate place for them. It's like, here, let me raise you in this religion. Let me tell you from a young age that this is everything. Like, God loves you based on this or
not.
Only
if you do this, yeah.
If you do this. And by the way, if you are LGBTQ, you know, you can still be religious, but just be celibate or hide it and then have it's like you're setting them up for a really unhealthy lifestyle that's just impossible to live by. So,
and someone who's unable to share their truth, whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, if you're not able to express your truth or who you feel like you are in that moment, is setting people up for big failure. If we're unable to share how we feel, express ourselves. Now, I'm curious, what do you feel like is your truth after all of these, you know, years of trials and tribulations and ups and downs and marriage and almost divorce and back together and kids and
I feel like
religion, like, and non-religion,
right. I don't feel like I have a core, like, this is the truth. Like I said, lots of little truths, but I think my main principle that I try to abide by is...
So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
It's a simple concept and it's been said a million times, but I really try to meet people and just say, you know what? They were raised with whatever came, you know, however you were raised, how would I have been if I was that person?
Right.
I would probably be worse than them. You know what I mean? I'd probably have been a worse human being than them. So I think, you know, it's like everybody is living in this world right now where everyone's screaming at each other. They're like, stupid Republicans! And the Republicans are like, stupid Democrats! And like, the religious people are stupid atheists, stupid religious people. It's like, right. But if you were just born in a different state or a different home or different city or different, you just would be different. And so it's so silly to me that we're spending our entire existence as humans mocking each other based solely upon where you were born, what you were born into. It's not someone's choice. They just were born to be gay, or they were just born to be. You don't have this choice to be raised in this family that's Baptist or raised in, like, whatever it is. Like, how can you judge someone off that?
Yeah.
It's really silly. How can you even judge them if they're in their 40s and they have all the free will in the world and they're still doing that? Maybe you would have. Maybe you would still be doing all those exact same things as that person.
Or maybe in some area of your life, you're still that way. You're still fixed in a way and based on how you were raised.
Right.
And you haven't chosen a different way.
Yeah.
Or a new belief.
Yeah, so I guess my just true abiding principle is just to realize that and just love people. Just come at things with love and
compassion.
If someone's gonna burn you like 3 times in a row or whatever it is, like, you know, then don't take time for that person.
Yeah, they're not for you.
Spend time with someone else. Yeah.
Who would you say was your greatest teacher growing up?
My mom and dad, for sure. My dad just quietly has worked his entire life. He still is working, and he's late 70s or something. Mm. Well, I'm sorry if I got that wrong, Dad. I think mid-70s.
Yeah.
He's just worked his whole life. He's a quiet guy who grew up on a farm, kind of farm boy mentality, hardworking, very conservative Mormon father who just has, you know, believed strongly in the things he believes and was a great dad and is a great dad. And my mom was very outspoken, very intelligent, very, like, strong woman.
Yeah.
Could have done anything, was, like, the valedictorian of her college. I think that has a different term for it. I don't know what it's called. But could have gone into medicine and done a lot of great things. And she decided to have 9 kids instead. And
what was the greatest lesson she taught you?
To love, I think. Yeah, like, true empathy, true love. Like, I was talking at this seminar the other day that was in Utah, actually, and it was a LGBTQ summit. We had this part where we were talking to parents, and I don't know why I'm not qualified to talk about any of these things as, like, a cisgender straight man, but I was raised Mormon, so I could speak to that a little bit and things like that. But anyway, so I'm speaking to these people and was talking about how the second a parent says, I love you, but it's just not love. Second anybody in your life, the second anybody says this, if your girlfriend says this to you, anybody, I love you, but this is my view on something. That's not what love is. It's just not. It's your LGBTQ child. I love you, but religion tells me that's not love. Love is just, I love you. That's it. That's the end of the conversation. That's love. Otherwise, it's not love. And that's something my mom taught me.
Yeah.
Because I was really difficult. I was a difficult child, and she
had to love you.
and she loved me.
There was no but at the end of her.
No, I never felt but from her. She strongly wanted me to do things. She strongly wanted me to be a good Mormon boy and be an Eagle Scout and go on a Mormon mission. But she didn't force me to do it. As I get older, if you would ask me this 2 years ago, I'd have been like, my mom forced me to go on a mission or something. As I get older, I look back and I'm like, I could have said no to any of it. She wouldn't have kicked me out.
She might have been disappointed or maybe
And, she strongly, emphasized things, but I had a choice.
Yeah.
And I made my choice.
Yeah. Even though there was a lot of pressure and you felt like you wanted to please your mom, that was more a reflection of you than her.
Yes. Yes. Good point.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate to that. What, you started opening up about seeing therapist or therapy and depression. And some people might say, man, you were at the top of the world. You were like the biggest artist.
Right.
Number one hit songs for, 1,000 weeks in a row, whatever it is. Like you're touring the world, sold out arenas. How could someone like that ever feel depressed or ever feel lonely or insecure when they have everything that I could imagine wanting myself?
Yeah, I think it's a really redundant thing. It feels like to say this, but I'm just going to say it because it's a real big truth for me. Happiness does not come from achievements. It just doesn't. It doesn't. I won't say happiness doesn't come from some money. There's like I will say this. Yeah. There's like
to make 50 grand a year. You're like, okay.
You have enough money for to do the things you want to do. For the most part, like buy that little thing you've always wanted to buy, like your bike that you want to go mountain biking with. Have your house or have an apartment. Mm-hmm. Have food. Like those things. Absolutely. Anybody who tells you money doesn't make you happy, I call BS.
You're wrong.
I've been so broke. When my wife and I got married, we were totally broke musicians. Both of us living in a bedroom studio apartment that we barely could afford.
In Vegas or where we go?
In LA, actually, in Hollywood. Because we were trying to break into the scene, so we both...
What year was this?
This is 2009.
So 10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah, something like that. 2009. With a baby sleeping in the closet and no medical insurance. And it was a really, scary time for us. But so we were happy, but we were very stressed. A little bit of money, absolutely important.
Yeah, yeah.
But sorry, what was the question?
When people are asking could someone depression. Like you be depressed when you have all this?
Right. So I'll sweep back before that. So when I was in middle school / high school, I started to really deal with serious depression and anxiety. Uh-huh. And the way I describe that is because I know some people are like, I've heard people who
are you really depressed?
Yeah, are you just sad? And I'm like, no, depression is not just sadness. Depression is the way I'd explain it to someone who's never experienced depression is numbness, grayness, a loss of interest in every single thing that usually gave you excitement to do, like whatever sports or music or whatever it is. I just went numb. And I just felt like my existence was a cloud. Like I felt when people talked to me, I could hardly even engage. I could hardly even listen. Totally antisocial. All these things that come with major depressive disorder were happening to me. I don't know if it was some genetic thing. I don't know if it was a trigger from dealing with my spiritual crisis. I don't know. It was a matter of just being Dan Reynolds. I don't know what it was, but I should have been happy. I had a really great life. But that doesn't indicate whether or not some people get depression. So went to a therapist, dealt with therapy for many years, helped me a lot.
In middle school, high school?
Yes, high school.
Gotcha.
Helped me a lot. Went to a therapist while I was on my Mormon mission, came home from my mission, went to a therapist. I still go to a therapist today. Mm-hmm. And it's made all the difference for me, absolutely. So, but when you're a child of the 90s and you grow up then, it was very different. It was don't talk about being depressed. Because if you're depressed, then you're weak.
Or don't that's talk about your feelings or that you're sad or lonely or insecure.
Right, because then people are like, that person, we're the normal people over here.
And that, he's weird.
He's the depressed guy. You know what I mean? It's it's definitely was super stigmatized.
Yeah.
We're better now a little bit, but then it was nobody's talking about seeing a therapist. That's not cool at all. So one of the first things I really wanted to start talking about to help destigmatize as good as I could now, which a lot of people are doing, which I think is fantastic, is saying, I have a therapist, dealt with depression, dealt with anxiety, part of my life.
Yeah.
Because if someone were saying that to me when I was in like high school or something, oh my gosh.
It's normal.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Oh, that person I look up to, like who has it all is still depressed just like me. Oh my gosh. Whew, he's gonna be all right, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's been a battle for men. You know, I was born in 83, so grew up in the 80s and 90s, and I wasn't even allowed to really like put my arm around a friend, like a guy friend,
right,
without being called fag, gay, right, wussy, weak, yep, little girl, whatever the term was. Mm-hmm. You know, just a buddy, like in the locker.
Just toxic masculinity.
On the sports teams. And I wrote a book a couple of years ago that came out called The Mask of Masculinity, which is about how men can be more vulnerable and how vulnerability is the key to healing and to freedom.
Cool.
For men. And I opened up about being raped as a kid and what that effect had on me growing up in relationships and just like not being able to talk about that for 25 years. And I've talked about it a lot now, but not being able to talk about anything, any type of pain or insecurity or
being vulnerable,
anything. Because yeah. I didn't feel like I could ever share with anyone. Although if I put my arm around a guy and I was called a negative name, just like a little bit of friendship, or if I started to talk about something I was insecure about, it was like, get away from me.
Yeah.
So imagine someone who's gay and it's not being accepted, not being able to do it, right?
Yeah.
You understand that. So.
Totally.
And I remember I was just like, I always felt like I couldn't share things that actually happened because I would never be accepted or loved. And the moment I started opening up about it, which was about 6 years ago, started opening up to my friends, family, and then publicly, like, the pain started to go away and I started to become less of a prisoner of the fear because I put it out there. And I think when men specifically who don't like to open up learn how to open up and be more vulnerable, even just with a therapist in a private setting, I'm not saying say this publicly to the world,
right,
but when we start to open up, you said you start to feel better.
Totally.
You can manage the anxiety or depression or negative thoughts or insecurities.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Why do you think so many people still today don't share how they feel with even someone where it's confidential? Why don't they seek that out? Why do we try to hold it in?
I mean, first of all, like we said, it's something that has just been a part of like toxic masculinity for a long time. You can't be vulnerable. You need to be this strong man that's just perfect and put together, and the woman needs to be this, and here's a feminine quality, and this is a man. Right. Like, there's no in between. There's no anything. It's just you're either this or that. That for sure. I also think today it can be really unhealthy. Social media can be really unhealthy.
It's
I think
so people hard spend a comparison.
Yes, people spend a lot of time on it. And they scroll through these pictures and they look and they're like, let's click on this family. Wow, they look beautiful in every picture.
These perfect.
Wow, look at the beach. They're like, they're traveling a lot. We need to travel more. We haven't traveled in a while. I haven't gone on a vacation in a while. These people are on vacation all the time. Hey, look at this person. Oh my gosh, she looks so great in makeup all the time. Why? I don't look like that when I put my makeup on. Like, it's like this. These thoughts are going through everybody's mind all the time. And that creates this real false narrative that there are people out there that if you just could be, they're just great. They're fantastic. They wake up every day and they're like, hell yeah, this is great. I love myself. I look so good. I'm gonna go on a vacation every day. Like, it's no, that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And then people get into this dangerous thing where they're like, if I get that, then this. And then you get that. And let me tell you what happens when you get that. Oh, wait. If I get that, then this. If I get that and it just goes on nonstop, you never feel fulfilled. It's never, it's not even that it's enough. It's not even like there's a tank and you're filling it a little bit. It's actually this tank stays at zero. It's literally the bowl.
It's emptier and emptier. You're still climbing.
You're just, if you're looking for achievements, now don't get me wrong, it feels incredibly great when you're like working for some like job and you get that job that you've always wanted. Like, yes, absolutely. But that's not what happiness is.
It's a moment of that.
Yes.
Then you got the rest of your life to be happy and choose it.
Yes. Oh, now I need that promotion. I really don't like this job until I get that promotion. You know, it's always, there's just, it's a
endless rat race. Do you feel like it's amplified for artists who are on massive stages with the pressure? He was just talking about that he was a photographer for a big artist. I won't say her name, but stopped working with her and just the toxicity of the industry of the jealousy and the competition and the pressure to, I remember interviewing Steve Aoki and I was like, what's your biggest fear? And this was at like the height a couple of years ago of his documentary and just like tore every night of the year. And he goes, staying relevant was his biggest fear that he shared on the podcast.
He's a really nice guy.
Super nice guy. But he's like, you know, the fear of like just being relevant. Are people going to want to listen to my stuff like in a week, in a month, in a year? Are people still going to like my music? Is it still interesting for people?
Yeah, it could be.
The pressure of like once you're up there, it's almost more pressure to stay and get bigger, not decline.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The saddest part to me of the industry is these are a bunch of artists that are sharing. The whole point of artistry is you're sharing a really vulnerable part of you. You're like, let me tell you all what I write in my journal at night. Yeah. That's basically what it is. It's like, here's my journal. These are the things I'm writing. By the way, let me go to the rooftop and say it to everybody. And so the second that becomes a competition of like, oh, this person's journal, and especially when people are like, it's not subjective. It is completely subjective.
People like it or not.
Whose journal do you want to listen to? That's going to be a subjective thing. Whose journal is better than other people? That's going to be a subjective thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So the second artists are, and then when artists are turning on each other, it's just, it makes me sad. And that is something about the industry. And I watch people just get torn apart because they'll express their most heartfelt thing. And then people just eat it out.
They just criticize it. They'll judge it. They're like, this guy sucks. This girl's no good, whatever. And it's just like, pour your heart.
This is cooler. This is not as cool.
There's a lot of great art and songs and movies that have stemmed from an emotional pain or suffering seeming, where people talk about their pain and it becomes this beautiful hit where people relate to it. It's a number one bestseller, whatever. Do you believe it's more powerful to create from a place of pain or love?
That's a great question.
Which one is more sustainable?
Well, I would say I've definitely written a lot more from pain than love. I had written very few love songs. So I don't know that I'm the best person to ask this question to because I don't have a whole... I have a really hard time writing a love song without feeling like, oh, this just doesn't feel right.
It's not authentic.
It's just like, I'm not going to write a song just to write a song. Don't get me wrong, I've written a few love songs. But if I were to put it on paper, it's like 90% of Imagine Dragons songs are like... pain.
And they're like, epic though. You're like, yeah.
There's like 5% of like, just I'm completely happy. Like
bliss.
Yeah, like on top of the world.
Life is amazing.
I just felt great. And then there's like the 5% of love songs. But so for me, I remember I was talking with one of my friends the other day and he was telling me that he was having a really hard time writing. And I was asking him why and he said, well, because I'm really happy.
Oh man.
So I'm just really happy. And so all the songs he was churning out, he just thought, felt like he was reaching for something. I'm not saying you can't write a song when you're really happy, but maybe it's more just like in a peaceful state. I don't know that art, it does exist, and some people are in like total zen mode, probably writing great songs and poetry and stuff, but I would think that most art comes from pain. If I'm just guessing, I guess most art comes from a place of insecurity, pain, hurt, questioning, and then love is maybe second, you know, on the list. I don't know. That's just what I listen to. Yeah. So maybe I'm just, it's just a product of what I choose to listen to.
Sure. No. What is your greatest fear?
Well, if I were to say my greatest fear on just a level, like, I think there's like two levels of fear. Sure. There's fears that are like the common, like spiders or something.
No,
you know?
And then
there's the fears that are like deep fears.
Yes.
So on the common fears, I would say I'm very claustrophobic.
Yeah.
I don't want to get stuck in an elevator or in a coffin. That for me is like, Like, I've had one time where I was stuck in an elevator and it was like...
Banging, you're like...
Yeah, and it was like only 30 seconds or something.
And I'm going to die in here.
Yeah, it was intense. I can't even talk about it without getting the chills. But, so that would be like the trite fear. But a deep fear for me is losing people I love, for sure. That I know that a lot of people say that, but for me... That authentically, I've lost quite a few, maybe an unusual amount of friends over the years. Yes, to drug abuse, to suicide, or cancer. Those three things. Those seem to be just a prevalent source of just, they're just like these demons that are lurking over all my friends and family throughout the years.
I said this to, I don't know if you know Lindsay Sterling. But she's LDS.
The violin player, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She was on about a year ago, and her, you know, she had some deaths in her family and her life. And I was talking to her about it. I was like, you know what? One of my fears is I've met so many people, just like you, or I've interviewed so many people, I've become friends with people, I've had so many friends in sports and business and all walks of life, and not many people have died.
Right.
And I don't know what it's going to be like losing someone. And like, eventually, I'm going to die or they're going to die.
Right.
And if I'm alive, someone's going to die at some point.
Yeah.
How do you handle grieving death of someone who's close, or even maybe not that close, but just people you interact with and are friends with?
You know, I wish I knew the answer. I'm going really through something right now where I'm really trying to make peace with that. I'm like frantically searching for some set of peace, some way to make peace with the people I've lost. I like just started reading this book, Proof of Heaven. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm looking for someone. Please.
Need truth.
Yeah. But I think that's an important part of life, because otherwise I was just stagnant, kind of. I was just like, we're gonna live, and then you're like, I'm gonna live forever. You're not thinking that it's going to get to a point in your life, tipping.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Point where you're going to start to lose people around you, whether it's you get older and it's just heart attacks and things like that, or if you make friends with a lot of people who apparently have whatever, it's drugs or whatever it is. Like me, I've lost quite a few friends to that. So, what do you do about it? I don't have a great answer for it, other than I just choose to believe that I'm gonna see them again. I know a lot of people are like, there's a lot of atheists who are like, why choose to believe in BS? And I went through a phase actually where I was really at that point. I was very like angry about religious people and very angry towards anyone who believed in it. I was like, it's funny, because I turned into the person, who was one of the first people I met on my mission, walked up to me and said, he was like, look at you, this missionary. He was like, I just want to tell you, kid, religion is for weak people.
Oh, snap. So your first day.
First day.
You're like, goes, you're at 19.
Religion, yeah, you're on the street like, hello, I'm Elder Reynolds. Can I teach you about, Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints? And this guy just looked at me and said, religion is for weak people. And I was just like, dagger. Oh. He's like, just people who can't handle the truth. Oh. So I went through this phase where I was there. I was like, you know what? All these people like making up these things just because they can't face the harsh reality of life. You're going to live and then you're going to die. You'll be nothing. You're just nothingness in this grand. Like, I definitely went through that phase. And I'm not knocking on people who are there, because it's just as possible that that's the truth as something else. Like, what I have a problem with is when people tell me, I know it's this.
That's, you don't know.
Yeah, that's what bothers me.
Either way, no one knows.
I'm just as bothered by the atheist telling me that they know as I am as the Mormon telling me they know. Like, I don't want anybody to tell me they know as a fact. Let's just all settle on the fact that we don't know 100%.
Yes.
Okay, so I went through that phase, and now I'm at a place where I've had one experience that I can really look to that I was like, I don't know how to explain that. And it gives me a little bit of hope in a cool way that I always wanted. My whole life, I was like, God, if you're there, like, I would pray every day. I'm like, God, as a Mormon kid, like,
show
God,
me
give me what is going on with my family. They all believe in this thing, because I guess you're answering their prayers, but you're certainly not answering my prayers. Like, just wiggle my bed just do
turn the lights on.
Something. And I relentlessly, I prayed for that. Nothing. And then, you're always taught at church, it's like, well, the miracle seekers never get the miracle. I'm like, well, what the hell? Am I like supposed to not want an answer then? And then I get the answer? Like, you just can't win,
Sure.
So, but now I'm in a place where I've had certain things happen where I do. I feel a closeness to some people who have passed. Yeah. And some people can call it emotion, whatever, that might be the truth. But for me, I feel like there's something more. And I tell my daughter that, I tell my kids that, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Got a few more questions, okay? Okay.
She's like, talk about ankylosing spondylitis.
I get you. God, there's so many things I want to ask you, but I want to be respectful of your time.
I can tell you a little bit of health. Health.
Okay.
So there was so let me just tell you about all my problems.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to tell you. Let me complain. So the biggest things, the things that I'm most passionate about are the LGBTQ community because of the reasons I explained.
Yeah.
Obviously, religion and talk of those things are important to me, and that's just interesting to me. I really like to talk about that. Aliens, I like aliens a lot. I get into that with you later, but
sure. Another interview.
yeah. Mental health is important to me because of the reason I explained, and then physical health is actually super important to me.
Yeah, because you dealt with something.
Yes. So I was diagnosed with two diseases in my 20s: ulcerative colitis and ankylosing spondylitis, which are both autoimmune diseases. But I was undiagnosed for many years, which is super frustrating. Anybody who has some magical thing going on that's horrible to their body and nobody knows what it is, and you're seeing the doctors who are supposed to know, and they either don't know or they have crazy egos and they pretend to know, which is even worse. Yeah, they're like, oh, that doctor, you went and saw blah, blah, blah. No wonder you didn't get an answer. He's really stupid. I could tell you what it is. It's sciatica. And I was having all these crazy back issues that came out of nowhere. No point of injury, didn't do anything. It just, suddenly I was just having extreme back pain in my SI joints, just like unexplained back pain.
Yeah.
Lots of morning stiffness, couldn't sleep at night. And it was right when the band was just starting to break. So it was like, I couldn't perform. So I was like, oh great, I worked so hard for this my entire life and now it's just gonna fall apart.
Wow.
So finally I went, after a couple years, to a rheumatologist, which I wish I had done earlier. And I was diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis, got treatment for it, changed my whole life. Now I'm able to do all the things I want, live a great, healthy, wonderful life. So that's my last thing that I'm really, really focused on right now, which is I'm part of this campaign called, if you go to monsterpaininthas.com, you can take a 3-minute quiz and find out relatively, if it's possible, it sounds like that you have AS, and then it'll refer you to a rheumatologist in your area. If I would have had that, it would have literally years of pain changed. So for me, I really am frustrated that there's a disease that millions of people have and that millions of people probably have right now that's undiagnosed, and they're just living with it and going to doctors just like me who don't know what ankylosing spondylitis is. Mm-hmm. I understand it's a mouthful, but it's actually a pretty common disease.
Yeah.
So we need to make it mainstream, and this campaign is searching
to do people that. That maybe feel like they have something going on in their immunity or their system, go to this place and take the quiz to see if this
might be. Having unexplained back pain, period. If you have unexplained back pain, go to Monster. It cannot serve you wrong to go to monsterpaintheas.com. Take literally, it's like a 2-minute quiz. It took me like 2 seconds to do. It's like there's certain indicators that show, okay, this isn't like a point of back injury. This is actually more likely an autoimmune thing or an inflammatory thing.
And it'll tell you whether or not and the next steps of what to do.
Yeah, and they'll find a rheumatologist for you right in your area. Yeah. It's literally, it's just, I just wish I had it available to me.
Yeah.
So.
Or if you hear a friend who says, I always got this back pain.
Totally.
Tell them to go to the
Absolutely. And it manifests itself different in other people. Some people it's in their neck. Yes. Some people it's in their ankles. So if you have unexplained inflammatory pain in your body.
Yeah. Go there.
Might as well. It takes a couple minutes.
You said you moved out here roughly around 2009.
Yeah.
It's the end of 2019.
I live back in Vegas now. I was here for a while.
Yes.
Back in Vegas, yeah.
But you moved out here to kind of start your career in 2009. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So it's been a decade of you on the journey of pursuing this career, this dream, blowing up, being where you're at now. It's been a decade, and we're about to start a new decade, 2020.
Right.
It's the start of a new decade. It's, you know, perfect vision, 2020.
Right. Okay.
So based on the last decade of your life, with all the challenges, ups and downs, from the religious questioning, family, marriage, being a father, you know, rock star, superstar, success, injury, all this stuff, to
failure
to mastering your health, to being the bad boy, to, you know, all these different things. What was the greatest lesson you learned in the last decade, moving into 2020, perfect vision, new decade?
Great question. I would say listening. I feel like we live, if there's anything I want to implement in the next decade of my life, it's just listening more. And actually having conversation that leads to progress. I think we live in a nation right now, especially, that's so divided because people are just name calling.
Mm-hmm.
No one's listening. No one's taking time to actually say, this is what I think. Now, what do you think? Why do you think that? Let's actually really get into the nitty-gritty of that. I just think that I wish there was just more listening. I wish I listened more. I want to like be in a conversation with anybody at any time and give it 100. Like that's, I really am trying to make more of an effort to just be present. I say all this as I'm telling you. I'm like thinking in my head, I'm like, I really want to listen. Let me tell you all the reasons you need to listen.
It's great, man. This is a question I ask at the end called the three truths to everyone. So imagine it's your last day on earth many years from now. You get to live as old as you want to live, but eventually you got to pass. And you've achieved every dream you can think of. You make all the art you want to make, and you help all the people, and you do all the things, and it all happens. But for whatever reason, you got to take all of your art, creative writing, videos, content you put out in the world with you. So no one has access to your words, music, this conversation, gone. Hypothetical question. But you get to leave behind a piece of paper, and you get to write down three things you know to be true from your entire life, the three greatest lessons that you would leave behind for anyone to be remembered by you, and this is all they would have to remember you by.
Right.
What would you say are those three truths or three lessons that you would want to share with the world?
Jeez, that's heavy.
It's a school of greatness, not a school of average.
That's heavy. Well, first of all, I would try to be just short in my explanation because nobody's going to read
ramble.
This. I think the first thing I would say that's the obvious thing that was the quickest thing that I've learned in my life was love completely. Just love completely. Like everybody you meet, give them complete love, acceptance. And that would be one.
Okay.
I think two would be love yourself. I think that sounds like it'd be covered in one, but I think I'd reiterate it in two because it just needs to be said. I have had a really hard time coming to terms with myself, loving myself. I think that's really, really important to love yourself. And three, do more of what makes you happy. I think it's easy to feel guilty because you need to do more of, I don't know. I just think do more of what makes you happy. Like you just, I know that sounds selfish to some people, but it might make you extremely happy to serve others.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Like
of course.
That might make you super happy. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm great at it, but it makes me happy. So do more of what makes you genuinely happy.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd throw in genuinely because it's like, it's going to take you a little bit to learn actually what makes you happy.
Right.
You might think it's just eating like Eggo McMuffins every day or whatever those
Netflix,
are. Eggo McMuffins, that's not a thing.
Eggo McMuffins. That sounds like a great product.
Eggo McMuffins. That's where I was lost. Sorry. But yeah, what genuinely makes you happy. Probably those three things.
I love that, man. I want to acknowledge you, Dan, for a second for being a great listener. For showing up and listening to your audience, for being someone who is a humble servant. You know, as much as you're off on the road and pursuing your passion, you're lifting so many people up, and you're able to share this type of message vulnerably when a lot of people in your position, I don't think, open up like this. It's gonna help a lot of people, and I know you do this on stage and on tour, and you do events just speaking about this for communities that really need this. So I acknowledge you for your heart, your ability to listen to your own truth, yourself, and for spreading so much love to so many people. So I acknowledge you for that, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, of course.
Right back at you.
Thank you, man.
Spirit about you,
and I really
appreciated my time here.
How can we support you in other ways? How can we follow you online? Where can we go? And where do you like to hang out, Instagram the most?
Or? Yeah, I do a little Instagram and Twitter. I don't know, that's just Dan Reynolds, I think, for both.
With your tours coming up.
We're going to be off the road for a little bit. Don't have to worry about that. I feel like the world has had enough of Imagine Dragons for a little bit. You can take a break from that. You can go to Love Loud, lovelouldfest.com. If you want to look at the LGBTQ festival we put on every year, we've raised good money for great charities, great team of people.
Is that Salt Lake?
It's around Utah. Sometimes we do Salt Lake, sometimes more in like the southern Utah area. And monsterpaininthas.com if your back's hurting you. Like,
that's it, man.
Yeah, I think just check in on your health and be good to yourself. Listen to this guy. He sounds like he knows what he's doing. He's got a good heart. So
love it, man. The last question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Definition of greatness. I'd say true humility. Mm. Like the people I respect the most and I'm like, that person is great. I think of like my dad. Mm. I think of people who just, and it's, I say true humility because there's a lot of false humility and people are like, oh, but it's hard to find somebody who really just spends their whole life just making other people around them feel good.
Yeah.
Because they just, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And I look at those people and I'm like, that's a leader to me. Mm. Every time I'm like, yeah, that's it for me.
That's it, man. Damn. Yeah. Thanks, bro. Appreciate
All right,
that.
Man.
Thank you, man.
I hope you got some valuable insights from this episode with Dan. Such an inspiration, a wealth of knowledge from all of his experience. I mean, the guy has been through so many different challenges, so many different ups and downs, traveled the world. He's been through it all, from nearly getting divorced to having multiple kids to having different phases in his life that were good, that were challenging, to, again, experiencing what it was like to be famous all over the world and to sing and perform in front of tens of thousands of people and so much more. The guy's been through a lot. He's got a lot of lessons. And if you enjoyed this, share it with one friend. Text someone today, lewishouse.com/890. Share it on social media. Get the message out there. You can be a champion and a hero in someone's life by helping them improve their life with this interview. You never know who you're going to impact. You never know whose life could change from this wisdom. So make sure to share it and get the message out there. If this is your first time, please subscribe over on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. I'd love to hear from you of what you enjoyed about this, how we can make this podcast better, and any other types of suggestions or recommendations you have. Go to Apple Podcasts, click subscribe on the School of Greatness, and leave us a review so we can learn more about you and what you liked about this show. Also, shoot me a text with the word podcast over at 614-350-3960. I'm connecting with an intimate group of people who are texting me over there. That's my community platform where I'm getting back to people one by one, doing my best. I get hundreds of messages a day there, but I'm sending micro audio messages of inspiration every single week. So if you want to get on my inspirational voice memo and text messaging platform, then again, text me the word podcast at 614-350-3960. A big thank you again to our sponsors today, lendingclub.com/greatness. Again, you can check your rates in minutes and borrow up to $40,000 at lendingclub.com/greatness. Make sure to check them out. They're the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion in loans issued. And also, netsuite.com/greatness. Again, you can get your free guide, the 7 key strategies to grow your profits, by going to netsuite.com/greatness. That's netsuite.com/greatness. As Henry Moore said in the beginning, to be an artist is to believe in life. Well, in that case, anyone who believes in life is an artist, and this world is a beautiful canvas that you get to play and explore every single day and bring your art to life. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Share it with a friend. Subscribe over on Apple Podcasts. And as always, you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.